Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
I jumped the gun a little bit yesterday, but today is the Thursday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so if you didn't get over there to see yesterday's, it's still hanging around over there for you. Swing on over there and check it out. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at? So, all right, Dan. Well, we actually had some signings in Major League Baseball, and I guess you could say one of them was a, not one of the top two guys, but definitely, a name everybody knows and, something that everybody's been kind of wondering. The Dodgers jump out, and they get A.J. Pollock. The deal is, what is it? It looks like it can be a maximum of $60 million over 5 years. This was kind of the deal he wanted. He wanted a deal just like Lorenzo Cain got last year from the Brewers, and this is very similar to that. Before I get your opinion, Dan, I'm going to tell you that I like this signing. But I just don't know how many games they're going to get out of him because, we're talking about a guy who's incredibly injury prone. How are you buying this for the Dodgers?
It's all right. I mean, they haven't made the rules. They haven't signed somebody. They traded Puig, and obviously this means they're not signing Harper. So I think it could be a solid signing, and it looks like there's a six-year option to make it a full $60 million.
So yeah, I am always concerned here when it comes to Pollock because I mean he's the definition of injury prone. I know immediately the first thing somebody said was career high in home runs last year, even though he only played in 113 games. That's just kind of, what you get or however you want to look at it with this guy. I mean, he's a really talented player when he's healthy. The problem is just he hasn't been healthy enough to really show that he's that talented player, and I don't know if I'm sold that this is what the Dodgers are going to get. So
yeah, and I think that's part of the issue. I mean, Patrick was a little off the link for 6 years. And then when you actually go to his page, it's 5 years, $60 million. I'd say there's a 2022 opt out. I don't know whose opt out it is. Is it mutual or one way or?
It makes for an interesting, setup for the Dodgers here. Obviously this means they're out of the Bryce Harper Derby, right? I mean, you don't think do anything there now?
No, I don't see them going there. And to be honest, 5 years. You know, after the fourth year, they have the opt-out, so I don't know which way that'll go, like I said, but I think that's more feasible than even working with a 10-year deal for Bryce Harper. I think it's better.
Yeah, you know, again, here's the problem. Like, it was 113 games last year, 112 in 2017, and then 12 in 2016. So, obviously he actually had a down year with the bat last year too. He only hit .257. His last 3 years have been really below his career numbers. I mean, you can throw the 12 games out, but just the last two, you know, he's been almost 20 points under his career average. You know, he can steal a base. He's a good defender. You know, he's a really nice all around player. And, you know, it's just kind of weird to say that, you know, it's just a scary signing because, man, you just don't know if this guy is going to be healthy or, you know, what you're going to get out of him. But, you know, I guess you got to look at it. It's a positive, right? I mean, it's you like this better for the Dodgers? Or would you rather see them try to get Harper there?
No, I like this one better. You know, and hopefully for them that the opt-out is in their favor, so in 2022 they could just, you know, walk away from it and pay him. I mean, you know, the details aren't totally there yet, what makes it confusing, there's an opt-out available for 2022. I'm assuming that's after the third year because 2023 has a $5 million buyout, but it's a player option. They could potentially be away from it in 3 years. But like you said, if he stays healthy, I think he could be a major contributor to the team.
So, yeah, you know, and this should free Cody Bellinger up to move. I would guess right field because he does have a pretty good arm. It looks like here on the depth chart they have Peterson penciled in left. But there's still a lot of trade rumors. So you wonder if possibly he does end up in Chicago. You know, the White Sox seem to be the team that are really interested in him. So, you know, maybe he ends up there and we get to see, Alex Verdugo, who is, a top prospect that, you know, they really haven't had a spot for, or Andrew Knowles, right? It is Andrew Tolles, excuse me, not Knowles. He was pretty good a couple seasons ago when he got a chance to play. But, you know, with the outfield they have, and I know he's been dinged up a little, there just hasn't been room for him. So, you know, you do wonder if maybe he'll get a shot. It could be interesting, but, you know, I don't know if this is going to be a World Series team. You know, I mean, you can never really tell, but I think they've got a good roster here, you know, a good lineup, a good rotation, and a solid bullpen. So, I mean, they've got to be one of the favorites, right?
Yeah, I still think they're one of the favorites.
So, yeah, and then if they do end up adding Yamuto, you know, that's one of the guys they're still in on, but, the Marlins' asking price is really high. That would help them even more. So it's definitely possible this could, you know, the Dodgers could be a serious contender again to go back to the World Series. So, I think a lot of it will key on if Pollock can stay healthy. You know, it would be nice to see Justin Turner stay healthy too. He was kind of dinged up last year.
Mm-hmm.
But, they look like, at least on paper, and I know obviously you can't judge, but they look like a really good team, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, they still look like a good team. It's outstanding, and I think, like you said, if they are able to land Real Muto, it'll make them even that much better.
Yeah. So, and then we slide into our upcoming Dan. My Mariners, another guy. Yesterday it was Ichiro. Today they are adding to the bullpen. It's Hunter Strickland, For 1 year, in today's salary, you could say a modest $2.5 million. I was a little surprised when I saw that the Giants decided not to bring him back. He'd always been looked at as a closer, but he had 14 saves last year, but his salary was almost 3.97. It never really developed for him as a closer, but he's been a really good setup guy with overpowering stuff. I'm kind of guessing here, Dan, with the situation Seattle's in and this being a one-year deal, that this is just trade bait, right? They're hoping the contender is looking to add to their bullpen, and, they're going to be willing to ship him off as soon as there's an opportunity.
Yeah, I would think so. And like you said, modest $2.5 million. It's, because of the arbitration year, too. So he still has two more seasons of arbitration.
Yeah, humorously, it looks like the back end of the Mariners is going to be two career setup guys. Strickland and Anthony Swarzak are the two guys at the back end of that bullpen. And while they both have minimal closing experience, I do wonder as things go on if either of these guys will actually even be there, by the time July rolls around. So, that'll be interesting to, kind of see how that works out for them. Like I said, solid setup guy, definitely can, can add to a bullpen. And, big time strikeout guy has always had a really good strikeout ratio. So, that works out, but not a huge signing. And then finally, Dan, after all my complaining and, grumping and groaning and however you want to look at it, the Cubs finally decided to listen to me. They added to their bullpen. I don't know if this was the guy I would have went out and got, but they picked up Brad Boone. What does it say here? It says $9.5 million over the course of two seasons. Oh, it looks like there's an option in this contract, so we'll have to see how that goes. But, Brock does have some closing experience, which is something the Cubs need. He had 18 saves 2 years ago and then 12 total last year. He struggled mightily with the Orioles while he was there, but you wonder how much of that had with the fact that, this is the Orioles and they just had their issues as a whole. When he got to Atlanta, they dealt him to Atlanta, 27 games. He did end up 1-2, but his ERA was 1.52. Dan, I think this is exactly what the Cubs needed in a setup guy, a guy with a little bit of closing experience in case Morrow has his issues. And, it sounds like the perfect signing, doesn't it? Or maybe it's just me.
It sounds like a signing. I don't know if you'd say perfect. He is averaging about a strikeout per inning. So here's the bright side.
So, throughout his career, he's been a really good setup guy. He has a winning record at 31-23, but more importantly, that ERA is 3.08, and he pitched the majority of his games in the American League. So, he looks like a really good fit, especially if he can do what he did for Atlanta last year. The Cubs would take that in a second. So, he's 32, so, he's going into his, it looks like it's going to be his ninth year. I definitely think it's a plus signing for the Cubs. And like I said, I still thought this was their biggest need. I thought coming in, I know, we heard the Harper talk and, everybody wants to talk about that because that's all you talk about. But I really thought this was the need they had to fill. And I think Brock gives them what they need, a setup guy with closing experience while we kind of sit around and wait and see what goes on with Brandon Morrow.
Yeah, his name's Brad.
What I call him? Did I call him Brandon?
No, you call him Brock.
Brock. Oh, well, I was looking at a roster, so I probably just juggled it around and screwed the name up. So, but yeah, you know, like I said, definitely a plus for the Cubs. But now, do you you think they're done? You think this is the move they're going to make?
I mean, they have to make at least one more. We got 2 weeks.
You think so?
I think they make another move.
So, interestingly, with this signing, they may have to get somebody. Do you think they would designate a guy like Tyler Chatwood and eat the remaining years of those contracts after the year he had last year? Or is that just kind of too much money for them to struggle with?
Well, the fact that they keep talking about how they don't have the funds, I don't think it would be wise to do that.
Because, the only pitchers on the rosters with options are Carl Edwards and Kyle Hendricks, and I don't think either of those guys are going to go down. I guess they could send Bodhi back to AAA. He still has an option and carry the extra pitcher, because they do have Descalzo on the bench, so he could play all those roles. And, you know, with the utility guys, I mean, Happ is versatile. Obviously, Zobrist is versatile. And, if you needed to, I mean, you could still bounce Baez around. I mean, we've seen Brian play multiple positions, even Wilson Contreras. So, I guess they could make a move like that, but it'll bear watching to see if they make a corresponding move with this, or how they handle this.
Well, and I heard that they're even shopping the idea of breaking up a really solid team of Joe Maddon and Brian Zobrist.
Yeah, well, you know, Zobrist is in the last year of his contract. So, you know, you do wonder, interestingly, the Cubs are now, their payroll is $229 million. So, you know, they're a little over the $206 million luxury tax. And that was something they didn't want to do that. That was basically the reason, you know, we kind of knew all along Harper wasn't coming to Chicago. You know, they weren't going to add that big salary to what they've already had here. And, you know, this may end up being an issue for this team. I mean, we went over their contract situation, and in the next couple of years, you know, they're going to have big, big names that they're going to have to figure out what they're going to do with. So, you know, it bears watching how the Cubs handle it, or what they actually end up doing. So, but yeah, you know, well, slowly, you know, Dan, we're getting down. Some of these guys are finally coming off the list here. But I did see this, and I was kind of wondering about this when the Braves decided to bring Nick Markakis back. You know, I know early on they had looked at, you know, well, Nicholas Castellanos, now I guess you can't call him Nick anymore. I didn't think that the Tigers were going to move him. He's probably one of the few guys on that team that have real value. He's got 1 year left on his deal at $9.95 million. I mean, we're talking about a, you know, 20-homer, you know, 100-RBI guy in the right lineup. Are you kind of surprised that he's still a Tiger? And, you know, do you expect him to be moved? Because his agent is saying that the Tigers would prefer to move him before spring training.
Well, am I wrong? Doesn't he play third base also? Is Jamar Candelario?
He used to play third base, but he wasn't a great defender, so they kind of went away from that and moved him into the outfield.
Hi.
Oh, you just faded out, Dan. Either you got muted or something happened, but you went away. Oh, maybe Dan is in his favorite spot on his way home, and we just can't hear him. But the toughest part. There we go. Let's get Dan back in here. There we are. All right. Yeah, you started to talk, Dan, and all of a sudden you were gone. I was like, "What happened to him?" Did I get Dan in? Let's try this again. Sometimes I have problems with this when I don't. All right, did that bring you in this time? We're having a good time with the switchboard. No. Okay. One more time. See if this one works. There you go, Dan. You there this time?
There. I think I'm in a better spot.
It's not Wednesday. We shouldn't be having technical difficulties. But I guess the big question, you know, Dan, after you know the Braves brought Markakis back, and now the Dodger outfield looks kind of set. Who's in the market, you know, for a guy like this?
The Diamondbacks?
Yeah, but they're kind of cutting payroll. I don't know if they would go that way. I mean, if the Phillies miss out on Harper, I guess maybe they could be a landing spot.
I mean, in the grand scheme of things, that wouldn't even be the consolation prize.
So, yeah. Well, you know, with Pollock off the board, though, you know, somebody's going to be that consolation prize. You know, it looked kind of originally like Pollock was going to be that guy. So, yeah, it's actually – the signing is actually a little bit of a surprise for that nature because, you know, I kind of thought he would sign after Harper. Looking around, I mean, outfielders, I guess he could be, you know, DH as well in the American League. You wonder
how much was it done?
You know, who would make that ad?
How much was his contract?
$9.95 million, and it is his last year.
Well, you know, the hard part is who do you trade for that? Because you're not trying to give up a whole lot.
No, you know, I mean, obviously, they're just, you know, being in Detroit, they're just looking for a prospect in the firm. And, yeah, I just don't know, you know, kind of looking around. You know, like I said, I guess we're going to have to see how the Blake Harper signing goes and the team that misses out on him, you know, the Phillies National or whatever other contender might get. You know, they would be the possible landing spot. I mean, I don't know if there's a team that jumps out at me right now that, you know, it's kind of like, oh, well, they really need to go get this guy.
I mean, does he even put up the numbers that you would want to be going after him?
Well, you know, his numbers are, you know, I'm trying to think. I don't know if you'd call them great, but, you know, they're very good. You know, you're looking at a guy here. He's a .274 career hitter. He did hit .298 last year. You know, it looked like his power is coming in. He hit 23 home runs last year and then 26 the year before that. So he actually led the American League in triples in 2017 with 10. So, and he, you know, he's not a speed guy. It was just one of those odd things. But, you know, he can drive in runs. So, yeah, I mean, I think he's a good middle-of-the-order fit for a contender who needs that guy, but I'm just not sure who that is.
I mean, what does Oakland outfield look like? Did they just go for a guy like him?
You know, that kind of popped into my head too, because I believe they're going with a younger guy in center field, but let me double check, and no, it's not going to be Kyler Murray, in case anybody was wondering that, let me pull up the ASAP chart here and see what I can find out. So, where are the A's? And, well, of course, you know, when I want this, my internet is going to, you know, go to turtle feet. Let me back to you. Let me see if I can pull up or something here. There we go. All right. So looking at Stephen Piscotty in right, Ramon Laureano in center, and Nick Martini in left are the three listed starters. Of course, Chris Davis is a DH. He can also play a little, you know, the corner outfield positions. So, this could be a possible add. You know, I mean, that's a real good fit there, actually, for a year. So maybe Oakland's the landing spot for him.
Thank you.
Looking to see if they have any team in this article that clicks with the Knicks, but it doesn't look like it. It's just kind of, well, there is before spring training, so we don't know where he's going. I don't know why the Mets popped into my head. I don't know, could he, your guy Cespedes is out, could he be a fill in there?
They have Nemo and a couple other guys already. Don't they, Lagares?
Yeah, well, it looks like, the setup now is Nemo in right, Lagares in center, and Kiko in left. They do have Keon Broxton on the bench. You know, I think if you were to plug Castellanos in right and move Nemo to center, that would be a better outfield, wouldn't it?
Quite possibly. I mean, I kind of like Conforto, but...
Well, we'd leave him alone in left. If he was left full time, it would just be moving Nemo to center to, you know, get him, you know, get Lagares would be the guy who would lose his spot. But, yeah, I just, you know, yeah, kind of looking, I mean, there aren't, you know, there just aren't a ton of fit for Castellanos, you know, right now. You know, unless somebody else is, you know, willing to make a move. I mean, you know, the Angels are taking over Cole Calhoun. That's not worth, you know, at the Angels. So, yeah.
Well, I guess you're right. As you go through the list, Nationals are going to sign that chart player, right? You know, due to some caps, I think it's the one prospect that the Tigers might be looking for, which should be. But, you know, this is where it becomes hard. You know, do you do the old stock up the farm system with hitters, or do you try to grab a pitcher that you could probably possibly develop?
Yeah, I honestly think it's just going to be the loser of the Bryce Harper game. None of that. Hey, what do you want to do about? No. You know, yeah, I just don't see any other field, you know, real quick winter for them. But yeah, you know, yeah, we'll see. I mean, you know, you never know. Unless maybe they, you know, unless they can find a team with a young pitcher that would be willing to make the swap, but. That wouldn't make a lot of sense. I mean, unless you can sign Castellanos, it wouldn't really behoove you to add him and then lose him. That, you know, for your talented guy.
Yeah, because, you know, that's the challenge. You know, you're not looking to sell the farm like yet, so I don't know.
So, yeah, you know, that's what I figure. You know, they're looking at getting, you know, you get one prospect and then maybe a second, you know, lower tier guy thrown in. You know, you're not going to break the bank getting a guy like this, but, you know, that's kind of where the Tigers are in their, you know, their situation, so.
Yeah, and Mickey's not going anywhere.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you're not dealing that contract. Sorry. So, but, yeah, other than that, I don't know really. Besides Castellanos, do the Tigers have any other, you know, any other tradable assets? I know there's always been some Michael Fulmer talk, but he's so young. I don't know why they would even consider that. So.
Well, you know, one of the interesting things, you know, that I brought up, the Mickey contract, you know, it's not, I don't know if you'd call it a killer for the team, but, you know, there's been players who have come out that are annoyed or unhappy with the fact that Machado and Harper aren't signed yet. And, I mean, let's be honest, I don't think that's a team thing or an agent thing. I think that's kind of a combo between both sides of why they're not rushed to be signed. But at the same time, you know, everyone's getting so upset. Oh, you know, even Uncle Bob. Oh, the team's saying, you know, the Cubs are saying they don't have the money. Well, no, they're thinking for the future, not just for right now. And when you look at it, no matter how great these guys are, you know, none of these long-term contracts have really seemed to work in the team's favor, more so than the players.
No, I'm trying to think who's worked out, you know.
I mean, the Angels sign, you know, was one of the bigger ones that kind of kicked it off with Albert Pujols. And, I mean, what was it? Within 2 years, he already was out with plantar fasciitis and has kind of, you know, systematically been broken down by sabermetrics as the worst player in baseball. But, you know, he's still there, but it's not the Albert Pujols that we kind of knew and loved from St. Louis. You know, the Yanks got stuck with how many contracts? You know, the A-Rod, I think they're finally done with this year. But they had Teixeira,
They still got Jacoby Ellsbury.
Yeah. You know, the Teixeira deal, you know, while at the time might not have seemed bad, but, you know, you'd be like, oh, yeah, he plays for them. You know, there were several years with that. So, you know, just off the top of my head, there's a couple. And granted, these were all signed, you know, guys in the 30s, which I don't think Bryce Harper's hit yet. He's what, 28, so you'd be looking at a guy going in 38. But the way the game has gone, guys don't seem to perform at the same level once they hit that 34, 35, 36 age. It definitely starts to tail off. So, you know, while I see the Nationals probably making that deal, you know, where are they going to be? And what year is this? Holy crap, 2019. Where are they going to be in 2027 when, you know, 30-plus-year-old, you know, over mid-30s, Bryce Harper, is, you know, his batting average is now down to 240. You know, he's striking out 8,000 times a season. And barely, I exaggerated my numbers and made it sound ridiculous because I don't want to put those numbers out there completely, but, you know, and that's some of the things that while everyone's like, oh, the teams just make money and you know, we're getting those comments about how much money they make. They also have to shell out a lot of money to take care of things. So,
yeah.
You know, it goes hand in hand.
Yeah, you know, while we were on the Tigers, interestingly, contract-wise, they're not in a terrible situation besides the Miggy deal, which goes till 2023 with two option years. They could take it to 2025. The only other big contract they have is Jordan Zimmermann, who's due $50 million for these next 2 years. But yeah, other than that, I mean, they're in real good financial shape. So, you know, if they're smart, they can get a, you know, a really good, really quick turnaround here and, you know, be contenders, you know, a couple good drafts and the right signings, and they're, you know, they'll be right there.
Yeah, well, you know, and the other thing is, and I hate to use the Yankees as a model, and especially in this situation, it doesn't make any sense because they're, you know, they're the one team that was known for just throwing money out there and spending it all. But since Cashman, over the last few years, I mean, they didn't make the playoffs that one year. So it seemed like they were about to have a fire sale. They traded away, you know, Aroldis Chapman, which was such a sweetheart deal for them. They got a pretty solid, you know, prospect shortstop. And they got their closer back the next season. they were able to move Andrew Miller, who, you know, while he definitely helped the Indians, they didn't help him win a World Series, unfortunately, for them. And I don't know if the way he's been used, if he'll be sustainable. But, I mean, when you look at it, the Yankees were one of the few teams that were not in the playoffs. And everyone's like, oh, we got to, you know, they need to, after those two trades, oh, they're burning it up. They're building it, breaking it down. They're going to rebuild. And then they didn't. And the very next year, they're back in the playoff run. And they still are under the luxury tax. And they're still stuck with a couple of contracts and some money that they had to shell out.
Yeah, well, you know, while I'm stuck on the Tigers here, what I find interesting is their top five prospects are all starting pitchers. And, you know, that notoriously has not working out for teams. Maybe, you know, maybe Detroit will be different, but we'll have to see.
And who are those top five prospects? I want to know if my from a distant cousin is in there.
Yeah, well, they have the guy at AAA is Bo Burrows. He's the closest guy to the majors. He's also the lowest ranked out of the prospects. Then they have three guys at AA, Matt Manning, Alex Fado, and Franklin Perez. And then in high class A, they got their number one pick from last year, Casey Mize.
Oh. Damn.
So, why, who are you looking for? I can look and see where he's at.
I believe he's in AAA. It's my brother-in-law's cousin, Kyle Funkhauser.
Yeah, Kyle Funkhauser, starting pitcher in AAA. So, yeah. There you go.
I remember that from Roster Resource a couple of weeks back.
Funkhauser. I just like the last name. So.
I know, right? So, but I'll be back that time.
So. Oh, okay. Yeah. So, yeah, you know, the Tigers are in a, you know, an interesting position. You know, I think the tough part is you wonder with the guys here now, you know, obviously Jamar Candelario is probably the guy who's still going to be there with Miggy because of that contract. But, you know, these other guys, you know, like here's their projected lineup. Candelario leads off. Christian Stewart is the projected DH. They got Castellanos in right, Miggy at first, Nico Goodman at second, Mikey Matuk in left, Jordy Mercer at short, Grayson Griner is the catcher, and Jacoby Jones is the center fielder. Now, you know, they're all pretty young. Obviously, you know, Miggy's going to turn 36 and Mercer's going to be 33. But everybody else, with the exception of Matuk, is 20, you know, under 27. So, you know, they are still, you know, really young. I just don't know, you know, not really the lineup that makes you go, ooh, hey, look at that. You know, the rotation is of interest. I mean, obviously, you know, Michael Fuller is a good starting pitcher. That's why I was kind of baffled when there were some trade talks about him. Matthew Boyd pitched really well to end the season last year, so you wonder if that continues. Sadly, Jordan Zimmermann's been a bust since they gave him all that money, but, you know, maybe he works it out. And then they added Tyson Ross, who's always had the arm but just can't stay healthy, and Matt Moore, who finished out strong with Texas last year as free agents at the back of the rotation. But both those guys are on one-year deals. You know, the bullpen, you know, Shane Green is a solid, not a spectacular closer, but he's solid. You know, it's just going to be getting him the ball. I know, like, I see washed-up starting pitcher Buck Farmer is in the bullpen. You know, he was looked at as a mainstay in the rotation when they drafted him, or I should say when he first came up, but it just didn't work out. So we'll see if, you know, he can earn his keep in the pen. But, yeah, you know, other than that, I mean, it's Joe Jimenez, Daniel Stump, Blaine Hardy, Drew Vanderhagen, Zach Reniger, and Reed Garrett are their projected pen. No, you know, nothing major. You do wonder if Ross gets hurt or if Ross or Moore get traded, you know, if Bo Burrows is the natural first guy up to try to fill that role and they get a look at him. So, it's an interesting spot where they're at. It's just, again, we're going to have to kind of see how they handle it, you know, is the big question. So, you know, and then I did see, a couple what you would call minor signings of guys who have been in the major leagues that you would know. The Padres added outfielder Boog Powell, no relation to the Oriole great Boog Powell, and veteran catcher Chris Stewart. They were both signed their non-roster invitees to spring training. And as of right now, the Padres have actually invited 29 guys to spring training. You know, and there are, you know, a few names, you know, you would know besides these guys. You probably remember Alan Craig, who was really good for the Cardinals in the playoffs and then just disappeared. They did invite their top prospect, Fernando Tatis Jr., and then Alex Dickerson, the outfielder who was, Tampa Bay, I believe, has been a, you know, pretty solid player. So, you know, the Padres bringing in some, you know, some interesting guys to take a look at. And, you know, you never know. I mean, you know, guys get a shot. Stewart is a, you know, has always been a very good pitch handler. I'm not going to say framer. He's a good pitch handler. He's always really good with, you know, staffs, you know, pitching staffs and stuff. So maybe, you know, maybe that gets him a gig as the backup there, or, you know, we'll have to see how that goes. But yeah, while Dan is gone, I'm going to switch up sports on him. And I don't know if, you know, you're playing a fantasy league in basketball or, how this works out, but I'm guessing if you are in a league, Victor Oladipo was probably drafted pretty high in your league, and unfortunately for whoever brought him or bought him or drafted him or whatever you ended up doing with him, sadly his season ended last night when he ruptured the quad tendon in his right knee. He is due to have surgery. They just said at a later date. They don't have a surgery date yet, but he is done for the year. He's had an interesting career. You know, he was the Magic's number one pick. What year was that? Yeah, he was the second pick in the 2013 draft, and it just didn't go well in Orlando. You know, three seasons there, he was solid, but not spectacular. You know, he spent a year in Oklahoma City, and again, he wasn't, you know, off the charts great, and it kind of looked like he was on his way to just being an average NBA player, and sadly, you know, that would legitimately make him a bust as a number two pick. Then he gets traded to Indianapolis. He came over with Domantas Sabonis. He was part of that Paul George trade. And last year he really showed, you know, as an NBA superstar. You know, he averaged 23.1 points a game, led the league in steals with 2.4 steals per game, put up really, you know, really good numbers. He's not the three-point shooting threat that, you know, everybody wants in the game. He takes about six a game, but last year he shot 37.1%. This year, just 34.3%. For his career, he shoots a little over 35%. This year, his scoring average was a little down. He's just averaging 18.8 points a game. But, you know, the Pacers themselves are, you know, right there. They're 32-15, and I believe that's good enough for third in the Eastern Conference right now. But, you know, they're going to have to figure out what they're going to do now without Oladipo, and that's a That's a big loss. I'm not sure if or how they're going to have a way to get around that. And I would expect they'll probably still hang around and be a playoff team in the Eastern Conference, because while it is improving, it's not it's not anything off the charts or anything like that. So. I think they can get by there, but yeah, he's a gigantic loss for them, and I just don't see them being able to make the fill. I want to look at the roster here really quick and see who's hanging around on it, but I can't figure out a way they can strategically replace Oladipo. You know, unless they're looking at a trade possibility or something like that. But yeah, right now it looks like Tariq Evans will step into the starting role in place of Oladipo. Now Evans is a scorer, but he's nowhere near the defender Oladipo is, and he's a high volume shot guy. He likes to shoot the basketball. So it'll be interesting. They do have Dan's guy Doug McDermott out there, but I don't think he's gonna that's gonna help help Doug much. So yeah, it's gonna be a bit of a struggle for the Pacers to see if they can kind of rally around without their best player, or if they just start to sink. So, Dan, you don't have Victor Oladipo in our league, do you?
I hope not, because I already have four injured guys.
If you got Oladipo, you could just cut him because he's done for the year. You won't have to worry about that. So, as much as it would suck, you wouldn't have to hold him on the injury report. So. But I did see here, Dan, and anytime I see this name, I always think of you. The Knicks have came out and said that Tim Hardaway Jr. is available via trade in advance of the February 7th deadline. So
I forgot he was there.
Yeah, do you see your guy moving on? They also said Courtney Lee is available, but I just kind of relate Hardaway Jr. to you because you always end up with him. He is scoring 19.6 points a game this year. Did you end up with him again?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
I think he caught on. You know, the league caught up to him, or our league caught up to him.
I don't have him, so it's not me. You can't yell at me about it. But, yeah, this is the highest he's ever scored in a season, 19.6. So,
probably because you're down there.
Yeah,
that's probably why. I don't have him.
No, I don't think I. So I don't think I did that. You can't blame me for that. We were just talking about it. Could Indiana be a landing spot for Hardaway as an Oladipo replacement?
Quite possibly. I was going to throw out there with going on in the West. I mean, do the Lakers look to add him? Do they have room?
Well, I'm sure they could find room. So, it does look like he is signed for two seasons after this. Next year, it's a little over 18. I think it's a player option for 2021. and that's just a little under 19. So he does carry a little bit of money with him if you're going to make that move. But, yeah, you got to think if you're looking to add some scoring, he could be an interesting guy.
Got to face Minnesota, you know. I don't know what the hell happened to Minnesota over the last 2 seasons.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, you know, where he could fit. You know, obviously Indiana jumped out right away, but I don't know. And of course, they don't have any, you know, anything where it could possibly be a landing spot. But yeah, you've got to figure. You know, there's got to be a team out there he could help somewhere.
Well, obviously for that, but you know, I'm trying to think about playoff teams and if they want to bolster their roster, and you know, is that something Toronto might look into? Because they've always kind of been hanging around, and you know, they've had the issues of just staying in it.
Yeah, you know, you do wonder, you know, with the fact that Kawhi Leonard could walk away after this year, it might not be a bad add to grab a guy like Hardaway, because you'll know you'll have him for a couple years. I do wonder if a team like Miami might take a look. You know, they're hanging on to the last spot.
Mm.
Oh, and, I know Deion Waiters hasn't had the year he had there last year. So possibly, you know, that could be an add. And then you wonder if some of these teams just outside looking in on the West, like the Lakers are in 9th, the Kings are in 10th, the Timberwolves are in 11th, and the Pelicans are in 12th. But, you know, the Pelicans are only 4 games out of the final playoff spot. That's how tight the bottom is. Maybe one of those teams would, you know, look at it. I mean, you know, you're adding 20 points a game. I'm guessing you wouldn't have to give up a ton to get them. So, you know, that could be a fun little add.
Threw the Lakers into that mix, because I know with the West, doesn't matter if you're in 6th, 7th, or 8th, you know, a 5-game losing streak and you can be back down to 12th.
Yeah.
Just, you know, just like that. And that 12 team could have, you know, could be put in that 6th spot. So I mean, you know, I go over the top, but I just like that because, you know, you've got to imagine LeBron doesn't want to get knocked out of the playoffs for the first time in what, since 2010 or 11? When did he go to Miami?
Oh, I don't even remember.
Yeah, so I mean, it's been a while. You know, I mean, I know they won in 11. They went in 10, so, I mean, he's been in the playoffs pretty much this side of the decade every year, and you don't want to take this 1 year off, do you? Get some rest, help executive produce a couple more shows while you're living there in LA.
You know, maybe that's not a bad idea. You know, they miss it this year, and he gets the rest. So,
yeah. I don't know.
We will definitely have to keep our eye on that and see where your guy ends up.
Yeah.
So, but all right, I didn't want to forget it. It is Thursday, and as Dan ends his week on Thursday with Schomburg, Stu, and I on Friday. So that means Dan needs to give us a movie, a nice little sports movie for the weekend. So I hope you're protruding them. You know, last week you went with a little older movie. So what do you got this week?
Well, first of all, I think I emailed it to you. You know, I had to suffer and actually watch it on a DVD Any Given Sunday last week. And then sure enough, I don't know what the heck. Was it a few days, not Thursday, like Friday or Saturday, I went on Vudu. You know, it was Saturday or Sunday night, I was on Vudu. If you have a smart TV, you know, that's one of the many movie apps that offers free movies. Of course, you get ads with it. And what's one of the, you know, featured new ones to watch for free was Any Given Sunday. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. How fitting is that? So I don't know how long it's going to be on there, but if you didn't catch it last weekend, you could catch up with it this weekend. You know, my nephew was over last night. He does this church group that's on my house, blah, blah, blah. You know, and then he stays over, and I drop him off for school in the morning. And he was going through my movies, and, well, you know, I didn't sit through and watch it all because I've seen it before, but he wanted to watch it, and that's, you know, I don't know where you'd rank it. It's pretty far up there. I'm not a huge, huge fan of this actor, even though he's a Chicago guy and everybody knows him. Everybody loves him. You know, immediately when I say his name, you're going to think of Swingers. Hey, Jack, you already know that is. Ken Swan. And we were watching, you know, good old Dodgeball. And if you haven't seen Dodgeball, which, I don't know, is there anyone out there who hasn't seen that movie? you know, pretty
well,
much,
there's always somebody.
Yeah. You know, the main character, Vince Vaughn, is Peter LaFleur. He owns a gym called Average Joe's. If you go on Lids, I actually get paid for that one. If you go on Lids, you can actually find the jersey for Peter LaFleur. And that's not many times I've seen the movie. And then, you know, he owns a gym. It's a failing gym. Marsha from the Brady Bunch movies, if you remember that. I forget her real name. She's actually married to Ben Stiller. So, yeah, there you go. So that's why she's in this movie, because Ben Stiller is, that's his name, right? Ben Stiller. I was thinking Zoolander.
Yeah,
so
I think
Ben Stiller.
I think Ben Stiller has the best character in the movie.
Oh, yeah. Last name White. Now I can't think of his first name for some reason. Best
White
part is
Goodman.
When he saw the, oh, yeah, his first name is White. White Goodman. W-H-I-T. E. You know, the character he Ben Stiller plays just, I think that's what makes the movie. That's actually where I was going with it. So, you know, Ben Stiller, White Goodman owns Global Gym. You know, it's the fancy gym, the corporate gym across the street from Average Joe's. And he's going to buy Average Joe's because Peter LaFleur's, we call it, getting foreclosed on because he owes $50,000. And, you know, the cast of characters for Peter LaFleur and his gym, he pretty much has no drive in life. And, you know, he says that if you can't be disappointed, right? So him and his little band of misfits, there's five guys. Justin Long, I remember him because, you know, he's the one in those Apple commercials, if you remember those from back in the day, that Mad Computers. And then he gets his eyes eaten out in that one scary movie. you know, he's in a big, you know, the nerdy guy, they do a dodgeball tournament, and it goes all the way to Vegas where William Shatner is the judge or the chancellor of the dodgeball league, and it's huge competition, you know, and it's awesome. It's probably one of my favorite sport movies.
What channel do they show it on?
Oh, how can I forget? For the basis of our show, kind of. It's all shown on ESPN8, the Ocho. You know, and the commentators are great guys. You have to watch it. It's just awesome. You got to watch it every other time.
For some reason,